Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sleigh bells ring, are you listening? In the lane, snow is glistening. A beautiful sight, happy tonight, walking in a winter wonderland.
Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
6:10.
In the meadow,
live from the Arctic. Actually, this is the edge of the Arctic. The Arctic doesn't arrive till later this week. Should we bring in a weather expert right away?
Let's do it.
Paul Conrad, esteemed meteorologist. Yeah. He's in charge of a lot of those fancy meetings where meteorologists get together and say meteorological things.
Yeah. Oh, that's nice.
This isn't walk-in music at most of those conferences.
And I asked McGill to stand at the light switches and flick them.
Right.
So you turn them on and off as fast as he can.
He's your roadie?
He's the best guy out there.
That's fantastic. All right, so how cold are you, and how cold will you be later this week?
Well, I'm fine right now. It's like a 70 in the week. Would you say 70 about in here, Demetrius? We got the thermostat about 68 to 71.4, just to be accurate.
But if you and Demetrius went out and had a wet T-shirt contest in the Channel 9 parking lot, how painful would that
well,
be?
Well, it is 25 out there right
painful
now.
Painful for us? Or
yeah, it's
for
painful
them.
For the whole universe. Yeah. It's 24 at O'Hare right now, which is going to probably be as warm as it gets through the remainder of the day. The temperatures, I think, are just going to hold steady and drop, which is, you know, sweet. This, you know, puts people in the holiday spirit.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
And I heard a high on Thursday, and I'd like to file an official complaint with whoever keeps track of these things. A high on Thursday of 7.
Yeah, I think that's enough.
That's not a high.
That's Well, the low will be minus.
I mean,
that's
not even. But it's not even
minus
a median.
Six.
It's called a high. A high should be a high temperature. Not a 7.
Yeah.
It shouldn't. It's just two lows.
Hey, listen,
it's a low during the day and a low at night.
Listen, we're just running numbers around here. We're not asking for personal opinions.
That's a good point.
And we'll give you numbers. I can yell any number out you want if you want it for your feelings.
81.
81.
All right, so it's going to be cold.
It's not good,
all week.
All week long. But here's the good news. There's a chance for some snow Friday night and into Saturday. And Saturday, we could see temperatures get back to about 30, 32 degrees before they drop back down to 14 on Sunday. So you got to look for the silver lining in things, as I'm known to do.
How much snow on Saturday?
Let's go with 7 feet.
That's not accurate. That's not accurate. Maybe 6.
It looks like it could be another measurable snow.
Another measurable snow. So three straight weekends of snow.
Yeah, that's kind of nice. That's what the kids are hoping for as you get closer to Christmas.
Not great for retail, is it? For shopping?
I don't know.
Ah, screw them.
Yeah. So let me just run through the numbers real quick.
Okay.
Today, low 20s.
Okay.
Tomorrow's high, 17.
Okay.
Now, Wednesday, it's a little unlucky. It's 13. Okay. A lot of people think that's an unlucky number, so we're going with it. And then Thursday's high, 7. And then Friday, huge rebound, we'll get up to 20.
All right, so if this were a stock market, you would sell everything by Thursday.
Yeah, get out fast.
Yeah, because we're going in the wrong direction here.
But then it does bounce to 32 on Saturday, so and then back down to 14. So
all right, so summation here, terrible day for a wet T-shirt contest in the Channel 9 parking lot.
That is very, very true.
Okay.
But we're going to try anyway.
How much snow do we get this weekend?
It depends where you're at. O'Hare, it was 7.8 inches. Up in McHenry County, we had reports of 10.5 inches. Couple inches further south.
Dave, did you measure yourself this weekend?
I did. Oh,
no,
me?
Dave.
Dave? I measured Dave. He was
yes,
great.
Yes, Paul did.
Congratulations to you, my friend.
I appreciate that, Paul.
Yeah.
May I just say thank you, by the way, since Paul's on the line, to the WGN-TV staff, and I don't know who did this, but I was there Saturday night when I got off the air at about, would have been about 10:30, walked out to my car and it was snowing very heavily, and someone had cleaned off my car.
Suck it up to you?
That was Tim McGill.
Really? I was wondering.
Who is
so
sucking
nice
up,
of Tim?
He posted
it
on his Facebook page, and he sent me a message. And what's great about it, a lot of people don't know this, Tim drives in from like Lake County just to do that for you.
Wow.
Really?
Yeah. He had a little time on his hands.
Wasn't even working Saturday night at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Wow, it's funny. The week before you guys, when I was there, nobody cleared off my car.
Wow.
Yeah, well,
McGill wasn't
that's a
there
Sunday.
Then.
He doesn't work on Sundays.
Oh, look at that.
What does Ennett have on Tim McGill? What does Ennett have on the staff?
That's a good question, isn't it?
I didn't see him there.
Hey, good news, by the way, because I know you got to run.
Yeah.
This general manager, Dave, remembered his name.
Ooh.
He met him and he's memorized his name.
I knew the other gentleman's
awesome
name.
What was his name?
Greg.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
Easterly.
Yeah,
but I just
thank God
I had
for Google, huh?
I gotta go. The GM
right,
might
goodbye. See you later. Goodbye. That's Paul Conrad.
We'll
come back later
him
and do a little TV with
Paul
us after 9 on SEAL TV.
GREG.
6:15. Hope everybody had a nice weekend, even though you couldn't do much other than sit inside and go, oh, it's snowing again. And I got up a partial artistic light display before the blizzard kicked in.
Do you have half your house covered in lights?
So I'm claiming it's minimalist. I'm claiming I'm doing a whole minimalist thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got two bushes. No, I got about four bushes covered in part of a tree.
But I bet that looks nice.
Yeah, it does.
It's great for the neighborhood.
It confuses people. They go, what's he trying to accomplish there? I go, don't question an artist's talent.
The Steve Cochran Show.
The attack hit the heart of Istanbul. Two bombs outside Beşiktaş football stadium.
At least 38 people were killed. The bomb blasts are just the latest in a wave of attacks to hit the country blamed on ISIS and Kurdish rebels.
The latest explosion in Egypt. The official news agency says a deadly blast occurred at Cairo's main Coptic Christian cathedral.
Eyewitnesses say a woman placed a bag packed with explosives inside Cairo's Coptic church, killing at least 25 people, most of them women and children attending a Sunday service.
Three major cities attacked this weekend. Many dead. The CIA tasked with keeping track of the bad guys, where they are and how much damage they can do. And Donald Trump and the Trumpsters attacking the CIA all weekend. How bad an idea is that? We'll get to that later. Right now, Tom Rivers standing by from ABC News to talk about these horrific attacks this weekend, which frankly you didn't hear much about. Buried in the news.
Good morning.
Our priorities, Tom, are starting to really trouble me and what's news and what isn't, but that's another day. So tell us what happened.
Yeah, sadly, it unfolded over the weekend. Two car bombs went off outside of a stadium, Istanbul, at the conclusion of a soccer game. And those that were behind it, and of course, one group has come forward called the Kurdistan Freedom Falcons. What are they? They're a splinter group from the PKK who wants semi-autonomy for the Kurds there. They targeted a group of police officers that were kind of just policing the game. So of the 44, the death toll has been rising, 44 people known dead, three dozen are police officers in Istanbul.
Yeah, and along with other innocent folks there who weren't specifically targeted, and that's what happens when this kind of cowardice goes on. What about in Egypt?
Egypt, device planted right by the main cathedral in Egypt itself, St. Mark's Cathedral. It is, the Coptic Orthodox Church. It is a minority religion in Egypt. They kind of keep their heads low, generally, and no one has come forward claiming responsibility. So we don't, at this stage of the game, know who might have been behind it, but as is the case, the funerals are actually taking place today. The bulk of the funerals taking place in Egypt.
So these are women and children. These are mostly Christians, too, aren't they?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. They are a minority, and as I say, they're not, into the political game in Egypt in any way, shape, or form. They kind of keep to themselves, and who might be behind this? Anyone's guess at this stage.
And there was a third incident, a second bombing in Istanbul.
Exactly, exactly. And again, it's difficult because given the geography, given the history, given the fact that Turkish authorities are going after Kurds, that the U.S. is backing, and they're going after ISIS, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of cross currents in that neck of the woods, and it is never that clear. One thing the Turks do, though, on the back of these kinds of outrages is go out and round up a bunch of folk. The latest number, over 235 people in 11 cities and in villages have been rounded up for questioning at this stage of the game. And, of course, that's been really ramped up since the coup attempt last July.
And Tom, that's what I was going to ask you about, too. These raids, it's interesting to me that the second this happened, boom, 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 they're immediately out trying to track down, trying to find a paper trail to all of these. Now, I know their laws are different. Can they hold these people? Can they charge these people? I mean, what is that?
They can do just whatever they want there because they've got the state of emergency in place. And that's a big concern for human rights groups. Yes, these things that happen in Turkey are very bad. But they kind of round up the usual suspects, so to speak. And we don't know if any of these 235 plus are involved in any way, shape, or form with the atrocities Saturday night in Istanbul.
The Turkish rounding up of folks in the semi-permanent state of emergency is a concern for human rights. But there is an argument to be made by the Turkish government that until we find out who did this, we're getting everybody into question.
That's what they do. And, of course, they're still knocking on the door in the U.S. saying we want this cleric released, and we're hearing absolutely nothing. A total shutdown from the administration. They don't say no. They want evidence. That's what they say. But that has not moved forward one inch, and that goes back all the way to the summer.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the information on a very bad weekend internationally. You know, Tom, you know this. And Andre, you've traveled the world more than the rest of us. Turkey used to be a place that Americans could safely go and not really worry about things.
Oh, absolutely.
There's specific areas of Turkey that are still relatively safe, but the rest of it, man, you got to think twice or three times.
Oh, I didn't know if he was still there.
I'm not sure if Tom is there.
No, it's absolutely true.
Yeah, guys, I'm still here. Yeah, you're absolutely right. And tourism, of course, has taken a big, big hit. And, of course, as you guys know, a lot of the tourists, not only Western Europeans, but a lot of Russians love to go down to Turkey, just on the other side of the Black Sea. And, of course, that was really, really hitting the shins when that Russian fighter jet was shot down. I'm trying to think. Maybe it was in June. Mm-hmm. And that basically shut down all of the Russians coming down. That meant no money coming into the tourist sector, and that meant a lot of the hotels totally, totally empty for a good part of the most important part of the season for the Turkish operators.
Appreciate it again. Tom Rivers, thank you, my friend. It's Tom Rivers from ABC News.
You're absolutely right. That area, too, especially Ephesus, all these touristy areas you wouldn't think twice about. There's wonderful golf in Turkey, great shopping.
Beaches.
But, yeah, beautiful beaches. But, again, now, anywhere you go, you just have to be vigilant.
And ISIS has several outposts there, and it's a hot mess. And this dictator that now runs the country has a lot of people going, yep. Forget about human rights. Let's go law and order, and let's get everybody until we figure out who the rest are. And it's a bad situation. So lots of, you know, this has a potential to be an extremely busy news week, which you wouldn't normally get in the middle of December. But we're 1 week away from the Electoral College voting and affirming the Trump presidency. Oh, by the way, Hillary Clinton now 3 million ahead.
How about that?
In the wackiest, it's the only way that 2016 could end is that kind of a number. And again, the Trump people making some very serious mistakes this weekend in questioning our security agencies. You got a problem with that? Have a meeting behind closed doors, but don't hang out for the world because, again, Mr. Trump, it's not about you. It's about the Russians and it's about China. It's 627. We're back in a moment on 720 WGN.
I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
640, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Making people better by making medicine better. It's Dr. Kevin Mose.
From Central DuPage Hospital.
And Northwestern Medicine.
Call Dr. Mose right now.
Doc, I don't know if you noticed that flawless edit where we added Northwestern Medicine because the song was originally done prior to the merger.
You know, it's so smooth, you don't even notice it.
You really don't.
I mean, it just flows right in there, yeah.
Doc did the right thing this weekend. He got out of town. It was in North Carolina. How was the weather there?
It wasn't bad. It was a little chilly. It was, but I mean, chilly down there. It was 40, 44.
Oh, how'd you do it? Oh, 40, 44. Any snow?
Yeah. No snow that I saw. Yeah.
All right. Creep.
Yeah, but they were complaining that it was cold. So
yeah,
it was
but they were good people down there. All right, so let's talk here. I'd rather open with whiny staff questions and then go to holiday Christmas gifts, if you don't mind. Healthy holiday Christmas gifts. But let's go to whiny staff questions. Anybody have any whiny health issues on the show? Anyone at all? Raise your hand. Anyone at all? Let's go to Sandberg. Sandberg has a whiny staff question. We do this with Lou on Fridays. Manfredini has whiny staff questions. It usually always comes down to David as Buckthorn. But what's the matter with you, Sandberg?
I keep getting bloody noses.
Oh, so it's cocaine, Doc. Is there anything else we need to know?
You know, it's, God, I can't even go there. It's seasonally, this is a time.
I've never done cocaine, for those listening.
Well, that's what you tell the authorities, obviously.
Sure, I do Flonase every day, though.
Too much Flonase, Doc. Could that be it?
Well, no, Flonase is okay. You know, Flonase is actually great for allergies. But, you know, this time of the year, unfortunately, the temperature has changed and the humidity changes. And our nose is very important to act as a filter. It also kind of tries to moisturize air before it gets into our lungs. It's going to do everything it can to protect our lungs. And at this time of the year, people can get nosebleeds quite often.
How often do you get nosebleeds?
Every day, right now.
Well, that can't be good, Doc. Shouldn't she go in and get checked? Go to a Jiffy Lube or something? Get her
get
up on the rack, take a look at her?
A humidifier in your house.
We do have a humidifier, but I can't have it on too high because then I'll get, like, sweaty when I sleep.
What? Are the nosebleeds better?
I don't know. I'm weighing the options.
Did Pat know all this? I was just curious. Last year?
I know. It seems
I take
like
you to be my nose bloody wife.
They're not like the gushing kind of. Sometimes when I'm in yoga, though, and I'm doing like a downward dog, all of a sudden I can feel like my nose, it's going to happen. So.
You got a lot of issues, man.
Yeah. I know.
Well, but I mean, in Mayor, someone like that who gets one all the time and gets this, it gets a continuous one, sometimes going into the ear, nose, and throat doctor, and even when you're not having a nosebleed, they can look and they can see where that's coming from when it's not bleeding, or at least have a good estimate of it. And we'll do what we something we call cautery, where we'll take a silver nitrate stick and just kind of block out that blood vessel. And that may be a cure for you.
They're going to solder their nose. Okay. You're going to get up there, they put on the welding helmet, they get in there, and they solder your nose.
So I have to go to an ENT for that? I can't go to my gynecologist?
No, wrong end. Unless he tips you upside down, that's the wrong end.
I don't have an ENT. I only have a gynecologist.
Well, your gynecologist probably knows an ENT. Probably saw him at a meeting.
All right.
Probably the most important thing, and Mary and I kind of had this light conversation yesterday about this, is what do you do when the nose starts bleeding?
I've been doing the opposite of what you told me, so.
Yeah, which is interesting. Everyone says, oh, lie down, tip your head back, you know. Absolute wrong. The position you want is you want to sit up and you actually want to lean forward.
Why?
Well, because if you tip your head back or lay down, the blood actually says, oh, boy, it stopped going out my nose. That's helping. No, it's going down the back
down
of
your throat. Yeah, that's happening.
And it
every
gets
time.
Into your stomach, and the stomach hates blood, and it'll cause you to throw up, and it'll make the nosebleed even worse. Again, it's a defense mechanism for the body to say, wait, something bad is happening, bleeding. I need to tell this person that bleeding has happened, and he'll throw up.
So I bet you guys miss talking about my infected eye, don't you?
Yeah, I really kind of do. Yeah. If something's coming out of your body, it needs to get out of your body. Your body wants it out of your body.
Well, no, but for this, exactly, bad things. But for this, what we really want to do is try to stop that bleeding as quickly as possible. So leaning forward and pinching that nose, and we say pinch for 10 to 15 minutes continuously, which is an eternity if you haven't tried it. Try anything for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, holding your nose, and
this
you'll find out how long it is.
This is a good opportunity to test that till death do us part thing with Pat.
leaning forward
while he pinches your nose.
Doc Musto also told me that I could use some Vaseline, but I am not putting my finger up my nose with Vaseline.
Put a Q-tip. Put it on a
Q-tip.
I don't have bloody
nose. Wait a minute. What's the Vaseline? The Vaseline, just it's a blocker? Or what is that about?
A blocker and a moisturizer as well, so it does both. Yep.
That's got to be a horrible feeling, though. A bunch of Vaseline up your nose?
Yeah, exactly. People, when they do, they'll often want to blow their nose, which can then cause the bleeding to happen.
Yeah.
What a mess you are.
I think the people that are listening, though, the probably one of the more important things is individuals with high blood pressure and individuals whose parents or are on blood thinners, you know, those are the ones we're concerned about, because often holding that is not going to stop it. And those are the ones that get in. We have other techniques that we can use in urgent cares and emergency rooms to stop that bleeding. But if you take aspirin or Coumadin or Pradaxa or Xarelto, any of those blood thinners, that's the individual that's going to bleed more and is probably going to need some help stopping.
Okay, so when do you know you have a problem as opposed to being a hobby bleeder like Sandberg?
Yeah, you know, most people are going to get nosebleeds at least a few times in their year. Sometimes it's due to trauma.
I never
have. Yeah, I had one of the best nosebleeds ever, and
are we ranking?
I was playing basketball at Allen Fieldhouse at Kansas, and caught an elbow in the nose, bled all over the court. They stopped allowing students to play basketball.
Oh, that's pretty cool. That's a cool injury if you're a dude.
Yeah,
yeah, because that's a good story to tell.
Yeah.
How do you know you don't have a problem? Like you're leaking oil, and you ought to go to a doctor immediately.
Yeah, if you're going to have them sporadically, that's okay. If you're going to get them where you're having them every day or, say, 3 or 5 a week, you know, that's worth going into the doc and say, hey, you know what, I'm getting these. And then they can hopefully, like I said, cauterize that to stop it. They'll also do simple things like check your blood pressure. You know, people with high blood pressure, what's going to happen is the smaller blood vessels are going to be the ones that burst. Those happen to be in the nose and in the eye. So you'll start to see, oh, boy, why do I have this redness in my eye? Why do I have this in my nose? Why am I bleeding? It's because your blood pressure is out of control.
And Dave, you get bloody noses while you're calling games, don't you?
I do. I do. But my dad, and I told you this, Steve, my dad, who turns 93 next week, just went to the hospital, I think, a week before last with a bloody nose. He's on blood thinners, Doc, and it's just what you were saying. They couldn't get it to stop. Went to the emergency room. They did a procedure that left him unable to breathe, so he went back to the emergency room, but they were able to get it under control, and now he's fine.
Yeah. Sometimes it's difficult. If you're a nose breather, then it's very difficult for us to treat you. We need to teach you to breathe through your mouth, because what we're going
to
do is
put
a balloon or put packing up in your nose to put pressure to stop that bleeding.
I breathe out of my nose, my mouth, my ears. I like to use all the available openings.
All the orifices?
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Doc Most. Next week, I would like to cover how come I'm puffy the next day after eating Chinese food.
Yeah, I know. I got that one keyed up for you.
This is like your version of Dave's Buckthorn. Yeah, it's like, you know, that's just her thing. The Buckthorn, no, she's all about Doc Most.
Think what she's saving in copays.
Right. Or a therapist.
Dr. Kevin Most is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. The only person on the staff I've purchased a Christmas gift so far for is Dave. I took care of Dave yesterday.
Well, that's easy.
Yeah, I got him. I got him some fancy underpants. No.
Well, that's nice. That'd
but Doc has some great healthy Christmas gift ideas, and maybe a few that aren't so healthy in a second. Hawks win last night. We'll have a Hawks Express coming up. After 7, a wild, contentious Sunday morning on the news shows. We've got some sound to play for you from Donald Trump's interview with Chris Wallace, and also our friend Chuck Todd beating up on Reince Priebus, who was very disappointing, I thought. Not Chuck, Reince. Dr. Kevin Most back, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. All right, Doc, healthy Christmas gifts. What do you got for me?
Well, Steve, you know, everybody likes to, you know, wear these activity trackers. So I'll say that's probably going to be one of the more popular ones. And it used to be way back when, you know, which was just a few years ago, we had our choice between Fitbit and Nike Fuel Van. And now so many companies have jumped in. Garmin's in the business. Fitbit has stayed in. Misfit, Jawbone, TomTom, GearFits. There's tons and tons of these. So if you want to give a great gift that's going to get somebody active, and also track some things that's important to people, you know, what their sleeping pattern is, you know, how are they doing, what's their heart rate when they're exercising, any one of these is great. And they range, you can actually get some newer ones from that are straight out of China, a Chinese company, for $17. And they range, you know, they go all the way up to $250. But depending on what you want is one thing. But I would also say make sure you look at it, because right now a lot of them have the same functions, and it's more about the appearance and the style.
Yeah, I got this Fitbit Blaze, which looks like a wristwatch, actually a wristwatch. And, you know, it's changeable digital faces that make it look like a regular watch or something a little funkier or cooler. And it does all the, does all the functions, but there's three or four main functions that you use. It's like cable TV. You watch four channels.
Right.
But it's all about, you know, the fact that it's easy to wear and it looks good and, you know, you'll wear it every day and you at least have something to guide you. So if I'm trying to get to 10,000 steps in life every day, which I think medicine still agrees is a good number, right? 10,000 daily?
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at least you're tracking it. Now, what about the accuracy of these? Because there are some studies that say they're pretty good and others that say they're wildly off. Where do you fall on that?
Correct. You know, and it's interesting. The ones that they say they're wildly off, it was actually a scope, a piece of equipment that was built inside of it that actually tracked that. Now, a lot of them have GPS. Yeah. So they're extremely accurate. The GPS ones are very, very accurate. The other ones, you could sit at your desk and move your hand, and you got, you know, credit for steps, where now it's the GPS says, well, you can move your hand all you want. You're not moving, and until you start moving, we're not going to count that.
Leather gloves, good gift?
You know, we've had this discussion numerous
times.
You're
going to say mittens, aren't you?
I am. Leather gloves are great for style. If you like the way that they look and it's 30 degrees out, it's okay. Later this week, when we're down into single digits, forget about it. Don't use gloves. Do mittens. Mittens are very functional. They're much safer for your hands and much better for your hands.
Makes it hard for texting, though.
Do you really wear mittens?
I do. Are you kidding? When I got home, yesterday I shoveled the snow, I wore mittens.
Mittens are the best. I love mittens.
Yeah, but Doc and I have been friends for 20 years or whatever. I mean, he's a man's man. If you're out in mittens, I'm going to come by and make fun of you. It's my job.
Yeah. That's okay. You can do that. My hands will be nice and warm, and you're
sitting there. Well, he's not wearing, like, pink mittens with pom-poms.
Yeah,
like,
you don't know bells that. You don't know that he's not.
No. I'll tell you, if you guys like North...
Are there man mittens? Why aren't there something called mittens?
The men's Montana mitt made by North Face is fantastic.
Writing that
down.
So
if you want to get somebody... mittens, and you can, I could do the snowblower. I could use a shovel yesterday without any problems. People say, well, I want a text. Really? If it's 2 degrees outside, do you really want a text?
Do you have to check your phone? I don't think
so. Right. Mm.
Where do you buy the men's Montana mitt?
Oh, you can get it. You can get it from Amazon. You get it from North Face. It's made by North Face. And, I mean, they're excellent. They're very highly rated.
I think you're being paid to say that. Yeah. Blood pressure cuff. Is this an insulting gift? I know it's a healthy gift.
No, and it's not insulting at all. A lot of people that are on blood pressure medicines, one of their goals is to get off blood pressure medicine. And the way we can do that is a couple things. One, we can eat better, and one, we can exercise more. Both of those are going to do it. The other thing that's interesting is people have something called white coat hypertension. And what that means is when they go to the doctor's office, they're anxious and they're nervous and their blood pressure goes up. The doctor has to use the data he has in front of him in order to make a decision of what he's going to do. If we know that your blood pressure runs 10, 20 lower when you're at home, you may not even need to be on blood pressure medicine. Just because your blood pressure is 180 over 110 when you're in the doctor's office because you're nervous, when you get home and it's 120 over 80, it's like, wow, I really don't need this. So it allows you, and it also motivates you. It's been shown numerous times that people with blood pressure cuffs at home exercise more than those who don't.
Yeah, my mom has one. She loves it. What about juicers and smoothie makers? I know those were big last year. Are they still big this year, and is that a pretty good gift, healthy gift?
Yeah. Yep, they'll continue to be good. And what that is two things. One, it allows people to get more fiber in their diet, and two, it eliminates the bad calories of sodas. So somebody wants something to drink, if you make a smoothie, you're going to get great vitamins, you're going to get great fiber, and you're going to get rid of those bad calories and even the bad diet sodas, which we know can add to bone loss as well as weight gain.
Yeah, I still don't understand why diet sodas make you gain weight, because you think you can eat more?
Yeah, you can eat more, and often diet sodas are hand-in-hand with the Whopper. I'm going to have the Whopper and the diet soda. I'm going to have a bag of chips and the diet soda.
Wait, I'm writing this down. That's bad?
That's bad.
It's like when you get a non-fat latte with whipped cream.
What if you had a diet soda, a Whopper, but you had them with mittens?
Right.
Beer of the Month Club? Oh, Dave's awake now. Beer of the Month Club?
Well, you know, Beer of the Month Club is a funny gift, but look at the Fruit of the Month Club. Vegetable of the Month Club they have out there.
Mittens of the Month Club.
If you're going to do alcohol, then look at a Red Wine of the Month Club. Ooh. So at least you're going to get, you'll still get the alcohol that Dave wants, but he's going to get it in a red wine, which mm-hmm. is going to give him a glass or two, which is healthy.
And you get the fruit. You got the grapes.
It's a win-win. Get a healthy cookbook as well. What about a Statin of the Month Club, where each month you get a different Lipitor?
That's not a bad idea, the way we have diets here in the country.
All right, last question. A scale, so you can actually check your weight. So you don't check it every 6 months and go, holy cow, I gained 75 pounds. I had no idea.
Well, and that's a really one to be careful with. That's like getting a vacuum cleaner for your wife, so be really careful with that one.
No, I'm talking about women to get this for men. Men would never buy this for a woman.
But if somebody wants to lose weight, we always say in medicine, if we can't measure it, we can't change it. So having a scale is great. There's ones like iHealth makes one that's great. It matches up with an app so that you can track it on your phone, and it allows you to show your goals and how you're working at it. And I'm a big advocate of weighing yourself once in the morning. It's going to set the tone for you for the rest of the day.
Right, and you're always going to weigh less in the morning, so that's a good number for you.
I thought those all lie, but good to know that they all don't. Scales.
The scales, they only, you know, it's like ratings. When they're up, you take credit for them. On the scale, when they're down, you take credit for it. Fortunately, the ratings are always up here, mostly because Dr. Most is on the show. Thank you, buddy.
You got it.
Go put your mittens on. Good God.
I will.
What happened to you? Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, making people better by making medicine better. We're back with the news next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. And since we've no place to go,
that's Buble.
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. It doesn't show signs of stopping, and I've brought some corn for popping.
I like Michael Buble.
The lights are turned way down low. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Keep the Michael Buble family in your prayers. He's got a very sick little kiddo, so best to him. All right, the Sunday news shows were rife with tense conversations. Chuck Todd with Reince Priebus, former head of the RNC and incoming chief of staff to Donald Trump. Here's what we know. The Washington Post and the New York Times both reported, as did 17 security agencies, by way of then an opinion in early October that the Russians were involved with hacking the U.S. elections. Now, the CIA is saying it absolutely happened. The FBI is saying we need more evidence, but we feel there's reason to believe. That's what the FBI does. They collect evidence, then they make a statement, unless you're James Comey. All of this is important to note because Donald Trump and the Republicans went on TV this weekend and did something that is not helpful at all. Listen to Reince Priebus and Chuck Todd.
I don't know why you're so hot about this. I mean, the fact of the matter is you should actually be happy that the RNC wasn't hacked.
The RNC was not hacked,
okay. Chuck. Number one, the RNC was not hacked. I don't know of any employee on any of their own Gmail accounts mm-hmm. that was hacked. So what I'm trying to tell you is the RNC was not hacked, number one. That was, okay, you say, okay, we covered
Reince,
that.
My question's not about the RNC.
Chuck,
my question is about whether or not Russia tried to infiltrate our election in some way, shape, or form. The hacking of the DNC, the hacking of John Podesta. You don't believe, you and Donald Trump do not believe Russia was involved in that at all? Is that, that's what your statement said Friday night.
And what I'm asking you, Chuck, is tell me what the specific source that you have, other than a New York Times article that claims that through unnamed sources, who they say was also inconclusive, what source are you using to be so adamant to get a response from me on something that doesn't have a source to it? What's your source?
So what you're saying is, until the CIA comes out and produces somebody on the record, you're going to dispute this the entire time.
I just don't know whether it's true or not.
You cannot question the CIA unless you want to do it behind closed doors. You send a message to the rest of the world that the incoming president and his chief of staff doubt what the CIA says. It's a very dangerous thing to do. Ex-CIA operative Robert Baer, speaking on CNN, says This is a bigger deal than people are even talking about. I don't agree that it's going to get to this level, but these conversations are going on.
If we had been caught interfering in European elections or Asian elections or anywhere in the world, those countries would call for new elections, and any democracy would. And I don't see it any other way. I mean, the Electoral College before the 19th has got to know whether the Russians had an effect, whether they went to WikiLeaks, whether they hacked email, and whether they affected American opinion. And they had a good reason not to go after Hillary Clinton. Putin hates her for the Ukraine.
So, Bob, if I'm hearing you correctly, you're saying we should have another election? How would that work? Is that plausible?
When a foreign country interferes in your election and the outcome is in doubt and legitimacy of the government, I don't know how it worked constitutionally. I'm not a lawyer, constitutional lawyer, but I'm deeply disturbed by the fact that the Russians interfered, and I would like to see the evidence, because if the evidence is there, I don't see any other way than to vote again.
You want to add?
I completely agree. Honestly, Steve, and you and I have talked about this. This is not a Republican issue. This is not a Democrat issue. This is a bipartisan American issue.
It sure should be.
Right? If it's found that Russia interfered in the United States of America's election, that is a major problem, and everybody should be outraged about this.
Listen to what Trump says, and then see if you hear what I heard. Here is the incoming president, Donald Trump.
According to the Washington Post, the CIA has concluded that Russia intervened in the election to help you win the presidency. Your reaction?
I think it's ridiculous. I think it's just another excuse. I don't believe it. I don't know why. And I think it's just, they talked about all sorts of things. Every week it's another excuse. We had a massive landslide victory, as you know, in the Electoral College. I guess the final numbers are now at 306, and she's, down to a very low number. No, I don't believe that at all.
You say you don't know why. Do you think that the CIA is trying to overturn the results of the election or somehow to weaken you in office?
Well, if you look at the story and you take a look at what they said, there's great confusion. Nobody really knows. And hacking is very interesting. Once they hack, if you don't catch them in the act, you're not going to catch them. They have no idea if it's Russia or China or somebody. It could be somebody sitting in a bed someplace.
He couldn't be more wrong. He could not be more wrong. Listen, I am the furthest thing from an expert on hacking. Here's what I know. You don't catch hackers in the middle of hacking. You have forensic technological experts who go backwards and then figure out where the hacking came from. When your main agency for spying and counterintelligence, the CIA, has determined that it happened, and you want to take them on behind closed doors. Don't send a message out that you, the incoming president, you don't trust the CIA. And here's the bigger picture. It's what you just said. This is not about Donald Trump. This is not about the Electoral College. This is not about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton can wander in the woods and take selfies all day. She didn't win the way our rules are set up. She didn't. He is the incoming president. He has to get it right with the people that are going to work for him. He needs the CIA. We need the CIA. And to question the CIA's validity because he thinks it's a challenge to whether or not he won, he completely misses the message. This isn't about whether or not he won. This is about the fact that a foreign government in one of our main problem areas hacked into our election. That's the deal. That's the question. More on this coming up. And all of this noise about the CIA needs to come out on the record. Hello, the CIA is a secret spy agency. The CIA isn't supposed to hold press conferences. This is what got James Comey in trouble. The president is supposed to get together the CIA behind the scenes. And by the way, none of this should even be in Trump's realm. You know why? Because Obama has been derelict in his duties since October 17th when this first hit. Actually, October 7th when this first hit. And apparently our best people in intelligence, again, 17 agencies, knew about it even before October. Where's the president? He still has the job until January 20th.
Steve, I saw something really kind of even more interesting on CBS's Face the Nation. They had
It's more interesting than this conversation, but try.
It was. It was about this conversation. They said when throughout history, when presidents have ever fought with the CIA, they've lost. because the CIA knows stuff, and you don't want to make the CIA first tepid about doing stuff, but then also maybe releasing dirt on you, leaking it out.
That would make things even uglier.
Right.
But could there be anything about Trump we don't know?
Imagine.
But this shouldn't be about Trump. This should be about President Obama standing up and saying, I am deeply... The only thing the president has said at this point is, we are going to look into this, and I want a full report before I leave office. Well, the chance of that dropping on your desk on January 19th and you being able to do something about it is extremely limited, if not useless at all. So we go all the way back, and you look at how this thing has played out. What is the hacking? The hacking, allegedly, are the Russians supply information to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks, and WikiLeaks releases the information, the Podesta emails and everything else. That's the hacking we're talking about. But again, it doesn't. I don't care about Hillary Clinton at this point.
No,
she lost.
It's an American issue.
Yes, and Donald Trump is the president-elect. He's not the president. So stop thinking it's a challenge to your incoming presidency, and stop challenging the agencies that have to work for you. And President Obama, where are you?
Is it possible, though, we would have another election if they found, like, serious hacking?
Highly unlikely, but possible. Very highly unlikely.
Listen, I've been wrong about everything else, so let me say this. There's no chance the Electoral College won't elect Donald Trump next week. There's no chance. The legal problems, the mess in the street. I would even go this way. You don't want that. The biggest Hillary Clinton supporter on the planet shouldn't want that at this point. You talk about a hot mess. You want to get rid of the Electoral College and change things? That's fine. There's another thing I want you to hear here. This is about the intelligence briefings. This is with Fox News and Chris Wallace. The presidential daily brief, the PDB, which is our three, the initials that came up after 9/11 and the breakdown of 9/11, what Bush and company knew or what they didn't know, is a big deal. And the president-elect is entitled to see it every day. There's been a question about why Donald Trump isn't looking at it every day. Here's that exchange with Chris Wallace.
You are getting the presidential daily brief only once a week.
Well, I get it when I need it.
But is there skepticism?
First of all, these are very good people that are giving me the briefings. And I say, if something should change from this point, immediately call me. I'm available on 1 minute's notice. I don't have to be told, I'm like a smart person. I don't have to be told the same thing and the same words every single day for the next 8 years. Could be 8 years, but 8 years. I don't need that. There'll be times where it might change. I mean, there'll be some very fluid situations. I'll be there not every day, but more than that. But I don't need to be told, Chris, the same thing every day, every morning, same words. Sir, nothing has changed. Let's go over it again. I don't need that.
By the way, I'm like a smart person, Donald Trump. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. And because of that, you should know that the last thing you should be doing is going out and saying, we don't know who hacked anything. We don't know if anybody hacked anything. And by the way, I don't look at the presidential daily briefings. Wouldn't one go hand in hand? Wouldn't you want to know what the security threats are if you don't know who the hacking is? If he's right, we don't know who the hackers are, and it could be a fat guy at his mom's house in New Jersey, as he once said, then wouldn't he want to look at the presidential daily briefings? Wouldn't he want to be told what he's being told every day? That's the part that's frightening. The best thing that Kellyanne Conway and company could do is have him shut up for a while. Don't do any more interviews. Just stay quiet.
Completely agree. She was on the Today Show this morning.
For the sake of the rest of the country's future, until January 20th, just get really good at the job. By the way, he's made some terrific cabinet appointments. He's made a few that might make my head explode. And again, nobody wants to clean that up. But he has, and the stock market's roaring. We have reasons to be optimistic in a lot of different areas. Yes, that's right. I said that. In a lot of different areas. But this ain't one of them. Please, Mr. President-elect, shut up. Here's Kellyanne Conway this morning.
You're seeing that these FBI and CIA don't even agree on what the conclusion is here. That's very clear in the Washington Post article, very clear in the Newsweek article from last night.
Yeah, she also said there's no proof that possible Russian interference in November's election will change the outcome. And again, going back to your original point, that's not the point.
It's not the point. The point is that Russia got into our election. That's it. It's not about whether Trump won. He did win. What everybody should be pissed off about is that Russia's involved in our elections, and the president of the United States and the president-elect are both going, we don't know if they did it, or we're going to need a long-term investigation in Washington where nothing moves quickly. Ridiculous. The FBI is keeping a close eye on other stuff. But and if you keep hearing this thing, the FBI and the CIA don't agree. No, they don't agree. Read the story. The story says the CIA absolutely says Russia hacked. The FBI says the evidence seems to indicate that. More proof is needed.
And they've gone to painstaking measures, literally, to work together on issues like that.
If you don't trust the security agencies charged with keeping us secure and you want to call them out, what good are they?
And the FBI works in a different set of rules because they're trying to find evidence to prosecute someone. CIA doesn't need that.
Exactly. The FBI is keeping a close eye on identity theft. Estimated we're going to see 43% increase in online fraud attempts, resulting in $1 billion for thieves. So while you shop for those last-minute gifts online, remember to protect yourself and your personal financial data. I use LifeLock. I'd recommend it to you. You know, you buy gift cards on social media. You do stuff. You know, our old friend Ann Johnson's had a problem this weekend.
I saw that.
Yeah, and she's going to come on with Dean at 8:10. She and her family got Hamilton tickets, fake tickets.
Oh, no.
And on top of fake tickets, once your fake tickets are purchased, the guy that sold you the fake tickets is clearly a crook, and now he's got credit card information and stuff, right?
Oh, that's her. It's a bad day.
Yeah, and she had her little girls with her.
Yeah, it sucks.
Always buy from a reputable source.
Like you. You've got all those Hamilton tickets you want to sell. Yeah. People can call you off air.
Call me.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Kevin White can't find a way to keep from breaking a bone. And Alshon Jeffrey can't stay out of the PED department of your local pharmaceutical establishment. And Eddie Royal's got a sore toe. He can't play. So, unfortunately, this is the best we've got. This is the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, bottom of the barrel receivers that we've had to play with.
That's what you're talking about. That's a frustration.
Folks, not one time did we try to go into the end zone and score a touchdown. For God's sakes, we won three games. What are you thinking about when you're down in the red zone on a 15-yard line and you don't try to put seven on a board? That's not coaching to me. That's stupidity.
I'm going to get him to play Madden. You know, anytime I played Madden, I always wanted to pass.
Sure. How about Tecmo Bowl?
How about what?
Tecmo Bowl? Oh, you probably
don't. I don't know Tecmo Bowl.
You know Tecmo Bowl? They brought it back in the commercial with Bo Jackson. You ever see that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Tecmo Bowl. That's before Madden.
Remember vibrating football?
Yes. No, what's that called?
I always lost a little, the little felt football guy.
Atari?
Oh, yeah.
Atari? No. This is the electronic vibrating football game.
Is it the little one with the little red dots?
This is literally a metal table that, as a matter of fact, Hamp and the boys used to play this in the locker room because that was video games in 1985. But this is an electronic table where you hit a switch and it would vibrate. And the little plastic guys, the football players, had little feelers on the bottom and they would move around. Now, the problem is they would never move in the direction you needed them to move in. And one of them, you'd put the little felt football in one of them, and they would be tackled if your defensive guy ran into the guy with the football, and then he'd have to reset everything. Remember that, Hamp? That was technology.
Yeah, well, you know, I didn't have one, but I got to tell you a funny story. By the way, good morning. I 1979, that's a long time ago. Well, Al Harris and I were both rookies, and one day after about a week, Al Harris turns to me and goes, this is tripping me out. I said, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm lockering next to Alan Page. And I used to have this little Tecmo Bowl, whatever that vibrating game was. He goes, he was on it when I got it for Christmas when I was in sixth grade. Now I'm lockering next to the guy. And I was thinking, well, I never had one of those games. By the way, that vibrating football is the one that Jingle Bellamy just dropped while we were waiting to come on the air.
Well, here's the thing. You get a couple of holding calls late that prevent you from tying it up and sending it to overtime, but you never should have been in the position where that had to happen in the first place, right?
And again, we know this team has issues. We've overcome some things. We've let suspensions, injuries, different things almost become a crutch. But I was really, really happy with the effort. I was really proud of the way the defense played. You know, Matt Stafford, I think he's second highest paid player in the game of football, and he has looked miserable both times against the Bears. They forced two interceptions again yesterday, just like back on October 2nd. But most importantly, your point of, hey, at the very end, we had a great chance. We were undone by two successive plays where we were in position to either tie the game or even go into the end zone, as my dear friend Mr. OB says, but the holding penalties. But, you know, in the big picture way, boy, you know, Larson is playing for Kyle Long, and no, I got to tell you, these kids on the offensive line, they've taken a lot of heat, but overall, they've done a pretty darn good job. Since Barkley has started three games, I mean, he has virtually been, you know, unharassed. Yesterday, our defense just you know, got after Stafford, slapped him around, and you know, caused him a lot of angst all day. But, you know, I hate that that Charles Leno Jr., he's a guy, he's put at left tackle. Everybody crossed their fingers, crossed their legs, and, oh, my God, we're going to – he has been pretty darn good all year. I hate that he has to be the guy that's, you know, singled out as a potential GOAT because he had that penalty there on the last drive.
Well, I feel like we're at the end of the preseason again because we're at the time of the year where you've got to evaluate who's going to be on this team next year. So yep. Did we identify any other players yesterday that are going to be back next year?
Absolutely. Hey, Cravon LeBlanc can play for me anytime. You know, DeAndre Hall did some good stuff. DeMontre Hurst. I mean, that was a great carom for an interception in the end zone. Changed everything. I mean, there's a lot of these young kids like Kwiatkowski that I think, hey, are great pieces to build teams around. Hey, Akeem Hicks has played better than anybody was hoping for. I still see Leonard Floyd around the football an awful lot. Now, you know, it's funny. I guess, you know, if you was to go up and your kid was like 15 and was a singer and Steven Tyler heard your kid sing, you know, obviously he would be very critical because that's what he does. He's a singer. Well, I, as a defensive lineman, I'm very critical and, you know, looking as a eye for talent kind of thing, you know, evaluating, you know, defensive linemen. I got to tell you, I keep looking for spots where I say, wow, this kid does it. He, you know, the safety sack that he had last week against the 49ers, that's a hell of a move. Not many guys can make the move he made to get inside and get to the quarterback. Yesterday, he seemed to be around the football quite a bit. He was the guy that was in Stafford's face when he had his little owie boo-boo when he hurt his finger. So all those things, they start adding up. And these players, you start saying, hey, I can keep this guy and keep that guy. The next thing you know, you've got a competent team. But still, it goes back to, and one of the overarching thrust of the great, you know, post-game show that we put up every week is, hey, who's driving the bus here? And again, John Fox is a guy that comes to the podium after games with almost, you know, patently prepared excuses that he could have used after week 3 or 5 or 8 or 9. It's almost like each and every week we're making a lot of the same mistakes, and he's blaming a lot of the same reasons for us losing. And a lot of it can be traced back to the fact that Dow Loggins, the offensive coordinator, has something special in Jordan Howard. Every time we watch him, we all say to ourselves, holy cow. I mean, this guy, I mean, it looked like Neil Anderson busting through.
That's good.
And he only gets the ball, 16 times yesterday. He only gets it 16 times. A kid like that, he's 22 years old. Give it to him 16 times a quarter. Then we got a chance to pound Detroit, win a game, and start building for the future.
I'd take 25. I'd take 25, 25 carries a game and fling it in the red zone. Dave Ennett, say hi to our friend, the Hall of Famer, Dan Hampton.
Good morning, Hamp. All right, so you mentioned Jordan Howard, obviously. What do we make of Matt Barkley now? I mean, he continues, and I was skeptical, and I think most people were a little skeptical when he took over, but he continues to make plays. He's had a lot of balls dropped on him, and you wonder what he would do with a better receiving core, more options in that receiving core than he's got.
You know what, Mr. Cat, I got to tell you, I was just thinking when you said, well, you know, I was skeptical. You know, it was like a bad Western where every week there's a new drifter in town.
Right.
They're all backup quarterbacks coming through. And how many of these guys have we seen? From Henry Burris to, I just go down, Jimmy Clauss. I mean, how many of the, well, guess what? For the first time in a long time, I have a great feeling about this kid. And just like you, we're skeptics until, hey, I want to see it. I'm, you know, Missouri, show me state, right? Now, well, kid has shown me an awful lot. And sure, against Tennessee, who as soon as the game was over, they jettisoned one of the cornerbacks that they started against us. That was a bad secondary. Okay, so maybe what we saw wasn't that impressive. Then against the 49ers, what did he do? he put together a winning effort and completed an awful lot of good passes, despite some drops and all the other things. Well, this was the game that we all said, now we're going to find out. He's got to go on the road, first start ever in his professional career in Detroit against, this isn't a, you know, a 3-9 team. This was a division leading Detroit Lions team that just held Drew Brees a week before to one touchdown in the Superdome. I mean, hey, this is going to be a tough stage. Guess what? Didn't faze him. The guy just, I'm telling you, he meets the moment as well as any quarterback I've seen in a long time. And I know you don't want to hear this. You know, obviously, you know, he was USC kid, California cool. He doesn't. He's not affected by it. A lot of quarterbacks all say, oh, well, it doesn't affect. It does. Trust me, it does. But this kid, to me, he seems different. And I'll tell you this. What he has done in 3 weeks, and all you can evaluate a quarterback on, and I read in today's paper, oh, well, he hasn't shown, you know, the rifle art. Well, maybe on any given play, the rifle arm isn't required. All you need to do is deliver the ball in a catchable manner. And you know, that's technically what his job is. You know, everybody, that's what Joe Montana was drafted in the third round. They thought, he doesn't have the arm. Well, guess what? All that guy did was make great decisions and great passes.
And win Super Bowls. There's a lot of guys who've played the game at quarterback who haven't had big guns. You don't need big guns. No. You need to win.
And I'm not sure you want a rifle arm thrown to some of these guys either.
Well, but my point is, who the hell is he throwing to?
Right.
That ain't Alshon out there. Hey, that ain't Kevin White. I mean, that's not Eddie Royal. These are a bunch of guys that, you know, camp players that have now been promoted to prime time. Unfortunately, some of them have not been prepared and they're not capable. And I mean, it is what it is. That's all we got. But throwing to Daniel Brown, throwing to Ben Broniker, these are not household names. So have I been impressed? Heck yeah, I have. Now, is he, would I say, okay, he's going to be the star? No, but by God, he's. I tell you what, the last 3 weeks, this kid has earned him another 3-year contract in the NFL. Now, are we smart enough to try to get something done with him before a bidding war comes up? Because you know, I know everybody in the league is watching the same tapes, and they're saying to themselves, Matt Stafford is the second highest paid player in pro football, and this nobody kid from California, Matt Barkley, outplayed him. Go look on the film. The film don't lie.
I think that's what we can all learn, kids, if you'd make a note of that before you go to school today. The film don't lie. Right, Hamp? That's all we need from today. The film don't lie.
Hey, that's Mr. Cat's motto for life.
It is, absolutely.
Lie. Yeah, that's why he had to have that lawyer. It's Dan Hampton, the Hall of Famer, and we will break down what could be a very ugly upcoming Sunday against a red-hot Green Bay Packers team. But it's special when it's the Bears and the Packers. Let's see if this Bears team has any heart when we drag Hamp back into the fray on Friday. Have a great week, buddy.
Hey, ain't Santa coming to town this week.
No, it's really not. Boy, the Packers picked the wrong time to get hot, didn't they? Mm. They just blew Seattle up yesterday.
Well, also, Rodgers has a little bit of an owie also.
I think you can call it an owie. The National Football League.
Well, that's Hamps. That's, I borrowed that from Hamps.
He can say it.
He calls them owies.
Hamp. Sponsored by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com. News next.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should.
Hold on, I'm in week three of my headphone emergency. Oh no, these are no good because these are tangled up like Christmas lights. Hold on. Be right with you. Stand by.
There you go.
Places, people.
How are those? Those are like two sizes too small.
Okay, they're great. Hey, none of that was on the air, was it? Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm fine. My headphones are fine, too.
Yeah, I'm having a problem with my... I should probably just call Dr. J directly.
You wear those fancy schmancy ones.
Yeah, I wore the Beats, and I've worn them for 3 years every day. They're probably not meant to be worn that way, are they?
Don't you mean Dr. Dre?
What did I say?
Dr. J.
I said Dr. J?
Yes. Yeah.
I thought maybe you were going to call Julia Servant.
I thought they had two.
Did I really say Dr.
Yes.
You did. But we knew you meant Dr. Dre.
These are my people's headphones. What am I doing?
You're straight.
All right, let me put those up there. All right, now we're ready to go back on the air.
I have like old school headphones that are like two vice grips that you put on your head from
You've got an old school head.
From back in the day. It's not really headphones unless they're incredibly uncomfortable.
That's very true.
Are they the roach clips? Remember you used to have to click those to the alligator clips? Sorry.
Roach clips?
The alligator clips that you would clip to the telephone.
I don't know. It's nothing but trouble. I've spent over $1 million in headphones in the last month trying to find the right pair, and I got nothing.
I'm going to steal some earbuds from next time I'm on an airplane.
You know what? They probably would work just as fine. Yep. You know what I ordered? I ordered, by the way, you audience enjoying this conversation, you think? I ordered the court stenographer headphones. You know, the kind that hang down?
Oh, yes.
As opposed to up? And this sounds really good, but I keep forgetting and leaving them in my car. They're not doing me any good in my car.
What are you listening to in your car?
Well, I keep trying to plug them into my dashboard, and there's no jack for them.
He listens to Dr. J.
Yeah, Dr. J. Did you know Dr. J doesn't even know Dr. Dre? How weird is that?
I'll bet they do. They meet at doctor conventions with Dr. Phil and Dr. Scholes.
Dr. Oz.
That's probably right. At 8:16, one of our own had some problems this week. And you remember the lovely and talented Ann Johnson?
I do.
Yeah, she sends out this picture. She posts this picture of her lovely family, her lovely husband, her lovely daughters walking into Hamilton.
Oh.
Minutes later, posted a picture of everybody with a sad face because her tickets were fake.
Oh.
That's awful.
Not good. Ann Johnson joins us now. First off, Shiftless, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well. I'm just zipping up my hoodie footy.
Yes, good for you. Yes, if Dave says it, it's always dirty. All right, so we saw this lovely picture of you and your family going to Hamilton. When did you get your tickets?
We got them on Craigslist. My husband and I'm throwing him under the bus here.
First red flag.
I know, but we met the guy, and they were real tickets. It wasn't like we got like an email, you know, with a link or something.
I got some tickets for you. Yeah,
exactly.
Meet me in the alley behind the theater. And
seriously, we met him at like a gas station, but they looked like they were real tickets, and he had a receipt. And so we're like a little printout. We're like, oh, sweet. And they were not discounted, by the way. So, but they were it was the Christmas present for my daughters. So it was a big deal.
No, we went. So they're all excited and they're looking forward to it. They get up yesterday. You're having a big family day. You go to the theater and what did they say?
And we got in line, and we were there early so we could, like, you know, enjoy the experience. And we got up there, and the guy went ding, 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 ding. And then he said, oh, these are not real tickets. And so then they sent us to the will call, and the guy at will call said that this has been happening more.
Ugh.
And then when I got home, I went on Craigslist and checked this guy out and determined to try and get more tickets with a different phone number so I could try and lure him into a sting operation.
Okay. All right, Columbo, amateur detective.
Seriously. So then I got the guy again, and he wanted me to meet him for the evening tickets so that I could get the evening tickets from him. And then I asked him to send me a picture of them, and I have all this like on my phone now. And then he sent me the receipt to verify that these are real tickets again. And oddly enough, the receipt was for a Chicago Bulls versus the Miami Bulls game.
Oh, the Bulls versus the Miami Bulls.
The Miami Bulls.
Oh, the Miami Bulls are having a great year.
They're better. Yeah, they're better.
Yeah, listen,
than
if this dame doesn't want the tickets, I'll sell them to someone else.
Exactly.
Don't you think Dean's gangster voice is coming along really well?
Yeah. That's like Groucho Marx.
This broad wants tickets. Yeah. Meet me behind my Camaro. Come on.
Yeah, this dame's got some nice gams. Let's sell her some tickets. Yeah.
It's almost better than your French accent.
I don't think that could even come close. So it's a miserable thing, and it's sad because the girls were really looking forward to it. And Mary asked, were there tears?
Oh, yeah. No, and not just by the girls. We went to the nearby McDonald's and ordered peppermint hot chocolate. That's when I sent you the picture, and I was like, this is what's going on. And, there are a lot of tears.
Can we say don't buy tickets from Craigslist then? Is that our message?
I would say don't buy tickets from any source other than BroadwayInChicago.com or Ticketmaster for something like this. There are so many counterfeit tickets, especially for Hamilton. But it's a kind of a rampant thing now when you're buying them from secondhand resources. You have absolutely no recourse when something like this happens.
I feel so bad. And in Ann's defense, too, these were actual tickets. This wasn't like a printout that
honestly, you could make, you know, I could probably make some of those in about 5 minutes on a color printer.
Yeah. So you're the problem.
Not difficult to make. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, wait a minute. I recognize his voice. Wait a second.
I know this guy anywhere.
Yeah.
See? I work with him all the time.
Yeah, so, like, you know, this is making it better, though. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, this really does help. All right, so when you call the police, what do they do? Go, yeah, we don't handle this? What do they tell you?
They there's nothing they can do, but I did. I called, and they have I sent all the links to the cyber crime unit, and they're investigating. I went back on Craigslist, and after I contacted this guy and said, listen, the Chicago Bulls versus Miami Bulls, that seems sort of sketchy. Then he took down all of his posts. So all of the posts on Craigslist have now been deactivated.
Oh. Yeah, we got to run. Somebody start the Camaro. Let's go.
Yeah, start the car.
You should have gone through with the whole transaction to have a rendezvous with him and the cops.
I know more than
full
you
Tommy
do.
Guns a-blazing.
I know more than you do on this story. Her husband didn't want Ann to go undercover on this. So how come he didn't go do it?
I don't know.
Well, the cops should have. You should have just set it up and then tell the police this is what's happening.
Okay, well, thanks. Now you're really making me feel good, Dean.
That's what I'm just saying. It was great that you recontacted him and you established and everything, but...
All right.
Well, and it turns out on Craigslist there are a bunch of people who put up messages. He did this to a number of people on Saturday.
Yes, we need to find this guy and beat him to death. What?
I know. I want to punch him in the neck.
So, well, I'm really sorry this happened to you, and I'm sorry this happened to the girls. And, Andre, you know a lot of people at Broadway in Chicago. Can you get Ann 4 up front, center?
Of course.
Message me, Ann, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll meet you in the back alley. I got 4 for you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, meet me there with this guy, Dean.
All right, hold on. Give Johnson's doesn't work. Here, give her everything on the prize list and tell her to give it to the girls.
Perfect.
So that's going to be really comforting after not getting Hamilton tickets.
I knew Mr. Cochran would give us a stupid pizza. We don't want a pizza. We want to go see Hamilton.
I got some skin moisturizer.
Why is Mr. Cochran giving us a commemorative calendar from the World Series champions?
And a pillow.
All very nice prizes. But
of course, yes.
How old are Ann's kids? Aren't they like
34 and 32?
They're just right at that Hamilton-y age.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
I don't know. Are they 10, 11? I thought they were 10 and 8.
Are they 10 and 8?
No, I think they're... Aren't they a little older?
They're so cute.
I don't know. They're very cute.
So cute. How horrible.
Yeah. Well, it's a good time to learn that life's full of disappointments.
There you go, Dean.
By the way, Dean is like a Kaiser Solse. He seems like he doesn't know what's going on. He's running the whole operation. If you get fraudulent tickets, it's Dean. It's 8:23. We're back after this with the actual show business stuff, other than the show business stuff we just covered.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard. Entertainment editor.
Intros Community Banks Hour continues. Dean Richards at Channel 9. How was the Paramount yesterday?
Oh, we had a blast. They were really fun. And tons of people saying how much they enjoy our segment together every weekday morning.
Well, why wouldn't they with the kind of important information we impart?
Well, when you got good stuff like, trying on headphones and, stuff like that. That's award-winning.
The trying on headphones segment was solid.
That's Hall of Fame material if you ask me.
I didn't mention this, but Ann Johnson's from Woodstock near Crystal Lake is allegedly going to join us for the 1 o'clock New Year's Eve show. As a award-winning performer and a Yale drama grad, I think her 45-minute segment's going to be strong.
I think she should recreate a dramatic recreation of the whole theft experience.
Actually, we got a pretty good idea that she likes, but it's not involving the theft. But she may update it. But anyway, it'd be nice to have Ann with us for the show, provided she's still going to do it, because I didn't ask her.
By the way, I'm selling tickets to Steve's New Year's Eve shows on Craigslist, if anyone is...
Yeah, who needs tickets? Yeah!
Get you a good deal.
We have tickets available for the 1 o'clock show, rauecenter.org, rauecenter.org. So does Dean.
Me too.
So does Dean. Dean's number might be better than the Rao. You can also join us at 6 o'clock at the beautiful Tivoli in Downers Grove. A lot of guys will do two shows in the same theater. Mm-mm. That's not working.
Mm-mm.
How about two shows in different cities?
Yep.
Same day. So we'll be at the Tivoli in Downers Grove. ClassicCinemas.com will get you the tickets there, and we hope you'll join us. Patty Vasquez will be at the Tivoli. Larry Reeb, the great Uncle Lair, will be at the Tivoli. And who am I forgetting?
Pat McGann.
Pat McGann. Of course, yeah. The great Pat McGann will be at the 1 o'clock show. Thanks, Henry.
That's okay.
It.
No problem.
And again, tickets.
I have tickets. I, too, like you and Dean, have tickets.
Tickets from RouseCenter.org for the 1 yeah. or ClassicCinemas.com for the 6P or Dean's Trunk. All available. All right. Golden Globe nominations. Who's in?
Just came out about an hour ago for Best Drama. Mel Gibson's Hacksaw Ridge was nominated. Hell or High Water, an amazing, very understated drama that came out a few months ago. This lovely film called Lion about an Indian boy who gets lost. And the real guy on which this movie is based was featured on 60 Minutes last night. Great film. Manchester by the Sea and Moonlight also nominated. Now, the Golden Globes separate their best picture categories. So that was drama for best musical or comedy. Deadpool is nominated, which is awesome that got into the top echelons. Meryl Streep's Florence Foster Jenkins was nominated. La La Land, which probably will be the winner. It's the movie that's got all the momentum so far this year. And also Sing Street and 20th Century Women. They also do nominations for Best Television Shows and for Best TV Comedies. The nominees are Atlanta, Blackish, Mozart in the Jungle, Transparent, and Veep. Once again, the trend for non-commercial network shows dominating the nominations is going in full strength again this year. For Best TV Drama, the nominees are Netflix's The Crown, Game of Thrones on HBO, Stranger Things on Netflix, Westworld on HBO, and NBC's This Is Us nominated for Best TV Drama.
And we would be remiss if we didn't mention that Cindy Brady is a big homophobic jerk.
Well, that's one way to, if you really want to spend a lot of time with your legal department, that may be one way.
I mean, Cindy Brady, if you want to think of Cindy Brady back in the days of her cute little lisp and her ponytails, now tell the story, Dean.
She had a radio job. She was co-hosting a radio show, and she got fired from that job after she went on a homophobic tirade on Facebook to an openly gay actor who had been a guest on the show. I guess things didn't go very well, and they got into a social media war that resulted.
Always a good idea, by the way.
It's not just a good idea to get into a fight with someone, but whenever you can put it in writing and put it in social media, that is really the best.
Right.
And she just tore this guy in very homophobic terms.
There's the F word, the C word, the P word. I think I got most of them here. She didn't miss many.
She didn't miss very many.
Same stuff she called Marcia. Remember in the episode of the Bradys and profanity, and then their dad would come in and go, "Now, girls."
Oh, if Alice, the housekeeper, were around, she could tell you stories. I'm sure the talk radio station says that they do not tolerate any hateful speech by anyone.
Which is hilarious.
Associated with the...
The talk radio doesn't tolerate hateful speech.
They said that they're not tolerating that, and they cut her loose. Actress Susan Olson is her name.
So, fellas, Cindy Brady's available. I'm just saying. Nice work by you, Dean, as always, and good luck selling my tickets for New Year's Eve.
See you on Craigslist, everybody. Yeah, yeah. Got some tickets to the Cochran show. Yeah.
I can't decide if Dean's a gangster or a parrot.
Or Groucho Marx.
We need a break. Then we got the big story next in 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
What you making? Fruitcake. What you baking? Fruitcake. Candy cherries, red dye number two. Green cherries, green ones too. It's fruitcake.
All right, it's 8:44, and it's time to swap the cake.
Pecans or walnuts.
Now, Sandberg, I asked you to join us on the show because when you signed up to produce this program, and Jake, this goes for you as well, you didn't know what you were getting into on a lot of levels. Now, here's part of the charm of working with me. Remember what Ross said? The problem working for you is I have to work with you.
Yeah. Couple times. Made a t-shirt, I think.
There's things that I'll remember that are really important to me, and then I'll forget about them until I have to remember them again. So every year at the holiday, because nobody wants fruitcake, I thought it'd be great if we had a fruitcake we could give away. And then each year we'd pass it on to other listeners. And then during the course of the year, they'd take the fruitcake out on family vacations and events, and they'd take pictures with it and post them to social media. Right. Steve Cochran Show fruitcake.
Like a flat Stanley. You take it around.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And much like the Miss America crown, you can only keep it for a year. And then you have to give it up. If there's other references there, you could fill them in. So we had an original fruitcake, which goes back to the early 2000s.
Yeah.
Which somehow was either taken or destroyed.
Or thrown away.
So we had to have a replacement fruitcake. And the replacement fruitcake, am I remembering this right? It's funny because John Sosa was on. Wasn't this John Sosa's crazy aunt or something that made it?
It was her aunt or her mother-in-law. In her family.
She got it from Hostess because there's a Hostess sticker on it in the pictures.
The third cake then.
Okay.
This may be a replacement fruitcake. So the point is, the woman that's had the fruitcake for the past year, we really haven't had enough contact with her. And this is part of the reason that Kevin was thrown off the show. He dropped the fruitcake ball.
Literally,
fruitcake balls. Huh? Anyone made those?
Sure. I got an email from this woman and said, "Hey, I'm the keeper of the Steve Cochran Show fruitcake," which I've never heard about, and I've been working on the show since February.
Oh, yeah, by the way, Mary.
And so I asked you on Friday, "Hey, is this a real thing, or is this person just off kilter here?"
Real, it's very important to me.
Yeah. And you said, "Oh, yeah, I forgot to tell you about that."
Yeah, I forgot to tell you. So the fruitcake is now going to be passed on, and Susan, who has had the fruitcake for the past year, sent us a lovely picture of, are these her sons, the picture that she sent?
Yes.
A picture of two boys holding the cake.
Actors that she hired, maybe, to hold your fruitcake.
Both kids have nice hair.
Yes. That's because of the fruitcake. Yes. Let's go to Susan now. Susan, how do I pronounce your last name?
Need.
Susan Need, these kids are great-looking kids.
Yeah, those are actually my nephew's kids. Right.
Were your nephew's kids?
Because your children aren't photogenic, so you wanted the nephews.
Yeah, no, we don't want to put my kids. Actually, I don't have any children. I have two nephews that are like children.
These are good-looking young boys, and they look like they couldn't be more thrilled than holding their aunt's fruitcake.
That's right. We took a trip to Alaska, and the boys got called into fruitcake duty quite a bit.
Oh, fantastic.
Posing for pictures with the fruitcake. And that picture is at Pike Place Market.
Yeah, I was going to say, it looks like Pike Place.
And that's the fishmonger that was Spike's favorite person. That Spike used to call.
That was Bear. The guy's name was Bear. Well, I'm sure that wasn't his real name, but
more thought and work put into this fruitcake photo by Susan than me producing the show.
There's a lot of work that goes into this. And Susan, I think you know how serious the ownership of the fruitcake is, even if it's for a limited time.
Right, right. I mean, we took the fruitcake everywhere. My nephew, my nephew's in the Navy, and he's stationed at the Pentagon. So the fruitcake went to the Pentagon.
Do we have these photos?
How'd you get that through security?
Yeah, how heavy is
at the Pentagon?
But wait, do we have the photos?
I think. Well, I have a book. Today was just impossible for me.
We've got it. We've got a picture of the fruitcake at the Pentagon.
Well,
that's
the
Capitol.
Well, we were at the Capitol, and then there's a picture of the fruitcake at the Secretary of Defense's office.
That's awesome.
Is this Ash Carter, or was this before Ash Carter?
No, this is with Ash, pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, you've gone above and beyond. God bless the work you and the fruitcake have done.
Yeah, I mean, we had a great time. When I send you the fruitcake or get it to you, I have a photo album. You can see all the places.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, we had a great time. We went dog sledding in Alaska. We did some really fun things with the fruitcake this year.
All right, now we need all of those photos, and we also need to know that your nephews are still speaking to you.
Yes, I know. I know. They were pretty good. They figured, okay, Aunt Susie, we're on this trip to Alaska. I guess the least we can do is pose for a few pictures with a fruitcake.
So here's what we need to do. We need to figure out how new fruitcake hopefuls will submit their desire. Because the way we've done this in the past, Sandberg, is we've had people email us and use some older technologies. At one point, they would write us letters in an email. But we could go social media on this, right? And why are they worthy of the cake? Right?
Well, hang on. If we're going to go social media, yeah, you need a hashtag or something like Steve Cochran's fruitcake.
Keeper of the cake. Or Cochran Show Cake. I don't care. Come up with it.
Cochran Show Fruitcake.
Did we ever name the fruitcake?
No, it's just been the official Steve Cochran Show fruitcake.
Yeah. And it's got more mileage than,
if this thing had, if it had frequent flyer miles, it would, it would probably be platinum by now.
It's unbelievable. All right, Susan, so we need to figure out how we can get the cake from you, but we don't need it yet because we're going to take a week or so to find out who the winner is. Now, we have one slight problem here. Am I only doing two more shows the rest of the year, right? After this week?
After this week, yes, you have two.
So we got to have a winner by next Friday, a week from Friday. So we need to have people get their entrance. So, Sandberg, you're going to go back and figure out how people are going to enter right now.
Uh-huh.
And before the show's over, you're going to tell us how they're going to enter. And then, Susan, we're going to figure out how we're going to get the cake from you. But, Susan, for being such a tremendous keeper of the cake, do you ski?
No.
Do your nephews ski?
They do, but they live in D.C., so...
Mm. Well, I just wanted to see if you're kind of taking a survey on skiing. I also have a Sports Illustrated 2016 commemorative issue of the World Series champion Chicago Cubs from you, or for you, I should say. I'm not going to take yours.
Thank you.
Did the fruitcake go to any of the World Series games?
Couldn't get tickets.
No, couldn't get tickets.
Yeah, the fruitcake tried. Fruitcake was online all morning.
Yeah.
We have Lou Malnati's pizza.
We tried to get him on Craigslist, but that didn't work out either.
She's good.
Oh, poor Ann. We have Lou Malnati's pizza for you. We have a gift card for Apt Electronics. We have the ChevyDriveChicago.com WGN radio stainless steel travel mug and a bag of Papa Nicholas coffee. It seems like so little compared to all you've done for us this year.
We love the fruitcake. It was fabulous
tremendous.
Having the fruitcake with us.
And I'm not trying to get out of doing work, but there's no chance anyone's going to come close to doing what Susan did. So should we just declare her the all-time winner and have her keep the cake?
No, it's interesting you say this because we have had two-year cake keepers. But based on all the miles and all the work
Susan's
done.
Wouldn't her nephews love that?
Yeah. Hey, kids, good news.
They're going to prom with a fruitcake photo, you know.
Yeah.
Based on all they've done so far, I think Susan would like to get rid of this cake as quickly as possible.
Yeah.
So I'm going to let you talk to Susan off the air.
I hope it doesn't end up in the drawer with the GoPro.
Yes, there are things upstairs that we thought we had plans for. You hang on, Susan. Yeah. Thank you, by the way, for being a great
You're
keeper
more than
of the
welcome.
Cake.
Really, You're more
really.
You're welcome. We really have enjoyed it. It's been a lot of fun.
Nice work by you. Isn't she nice?
She's great.
Keeper of the cake.
She really took it to the extreme. This is awesome.
All right, so Sandberg, let's review. You have to come up with a hashtag for entries, and then the entries have to be why they should be keepers of the cake, why they're worthy. And then we have to have all those entries in so we can pick a winner by next Friday. And then we have to get the cake from Susan and get the cake to the new winner. Any questions?
No, but I think the hashtag should be, I want Cochran's fruitcake.
That's fine. It's fine. It's a little long, but it's fine.
It'll direct all the pictures to me.
Yeah, well, you can call it, F this. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. whatever's in your head right now. Yeah. So you come up with the right architecture.
I want to hear you say, I want Cochran's fruitcake.
I want Cochran's fruitcake.
There you go. Yeah, that's going to work.
Exactly
for us.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. It is 8:53. Aren't you glad I remembered how important the fruitcake was to me?
Completely.
How great is Susan?
She was fantastic. These pictures are awesome.
We got to have those pictures so we can post those pictures for incentive.
I want to know again how it got through security to get to the Pentagon. Can you imagine the TSA agents?
I sort of remember she's connected. She's got some connections.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, I think Susan's a big deal.
So are her nephews now, too.
Yeah, yeah. That's why they're doing nice things for their Aunt Susan, they know she's connected.
They want to cut.
I can't remember what her deal was, but I think she's a VIP. Hawks Replay, The Express, here. It's sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, Cooling, and Making You Feel Better.
Their troubles with the Dallas Stars last season, but this season has been different so far. Tonight, the Hawks have a chance to make it three straight wins over their division rivals as the struggling Stars are 1-4-1 in their last six on the road.
Stars come back 3-on-2, now 4-on-2. To the slot, there's a shot, they score! Devin Shore got away the initial volley. Darling made the save, but several Stars were around the net and one of them put it home. It's now 1-0 in favor of the Dallas Stars. In behind the net, Inostroza whacks it around up the right side to Hartman. Rink wide pass, Hossa over the Stars line, fires, he scores! Marian Hossa let it rip from out near the left point. Lehtinen stopped it initially, but it rolled through his pads and over the goal line. The Hawks get it right back, and we're tied at one. Hartman tried to get to the puck and did it from the Stars net. Backhand! Save is made by Lehtinen. Rebound, score! Artem Anisimov following up the Hartman shot. Lehtinen made the save, but the puck went out of his glove and laid in the crease. It's 2-1 Hawks. And Reimsdyk in the deep slot now to Kane along the right boards. To Keith, high slot. Winds up, gave it to Panarin. Should he score? From the bottom of the left wing circle, a one-timer by Panarin. Beats Lehtinen, it's a power play goal, and the Hawks lead the Stars 3-1. Hawks win, they hang on and beat the Dallas Stars 3-1 here tonight at the United Center.
Again, sponsored by Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Cooling, and Wintrust Community Banks, brought to the hour. Thanks for that. CLTV joins us now, and we welcome them every 9 o'clock hours on CLTV, and every 3 o'clock hours with Rowan Anna as well. Of course, you get the Hamp OB Cause and their little friend Carmen show on CLTV. They were on last night. So,
is that the official title? Their
yes, exactly Carmen. What it is.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Sleigh bells ring. Are you listening? In the lane, snow. A beautiful sight, happy tonight, walking in a window.
It's Gaga, and here's your boyfriend.
Gone away is the bluebird, here to stay is a new bird. He sings a love song as we go along, walking in a winter wonderland.
Lady Gaga, Tony Bennett.
In the meadow we can build a snowman.
Is he 90 yet? He turned 90, didn't he?
Yes.
How about that? Joining us now live at Channel 9 is our friend Paul Conrad from the Channel 9 Morning News, which, as far as I know, we're competing with right now. So is that right, Paul? We're competing with you right now?
I believe that is the case, yes.
I mean, this is a battle to the death. It's the CLTV Steve Cochran Show.
And don't think that I'm not going to phone it in here.
Right. Right, right. Yeah, because your main bread is buttered by Channel 9. You don't care about what happens on the CLTV show.
No. But frankly, I'm bored with what was going on over here, so I'm glad to mix it up a little bit.
I do have to say, when I watch the Channel 9 morning news, they do terrific work, which is why they're huge number one. And that's mostly you?
It's primarily me, yeah. I think there's a couple other people who do work at the station, but really, when you're talking about what people want and desire and are willing to tune in for, yeah, I'd say it's primarily me.
It's primarily you?
Yeah. Maybe another bald Dean Richards, you know, a little bit, but it's really me.
We were hoping to have a shot of you on TV since you're actually at the TV station. But speaking of bald, right now it's focused mostly on me.
Listen,
my Van Dyke and my bald head.
Yeah. Let me just ask this question. Does my audio sound as bad to you as it does to me here?
Actually, your audio is perfect. It's your video we're wondering about.
All right. Because my audio sounds bad in my ear.
No. You sound fantastic.
Well, that's too bad because I really look really hot today. And I've got a beautiful poinsettia plant next to me. It's not quite as nice as your Christmas tree.
Are you growing out the beard, Paul?
Yeah, I'm letting it grow for a couple more days.
Are you sure you're in a room with a camera? I mean, I know you're fairly new to television.
I am in... I am in the WGN Weather Center. It says it right behind my head.
And there's a guy with a camera there.
Listen, we've had technical issues since this place opened up.
I'm just wondering, suppose the pictures of Paul are on some other station right now?
Yeah, they're probably on the internet somewhere. My phone's ringing. Hold on. Maybe I've done something wrong here.
All right, go ahead and
answer. No, it says it's from the Tribune Company Incorporated. I'm not answering that.
Oh, I wouldn't do that either.
By the way, Paul, not that we were in your office or anything last weekend, but I love the big Elliot Fromm type Paul Conrad watercolor painting.
It's spectacular.
Oh, it's big. It's big.
I'd show it to you right now, but we can't get the signal in.
Yeah, by the way, you know that Paul used money from his foundation to pay for that portrait.
Yeah.
Big photo. It's nice.
Should I answer this phone? It does say it's from Trunk.
Yeah, go ahead.
I wasn't fast enough.
Trump or Trunk?
Trunk. T-R-O-N-C. Okay.
Hey, you know what? Speaking of that, there's a guy, I don't even know if you know him, but there's a guy who's terrific, and unfortunately he's left the Chicago, he's leaving the Chicago Tribune, Tony Hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And Tony Hunter, CEO and publisher for many, many years. Couldn't be a better guy, and whatever he does is going to be great. And I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, well, maybe he could come down here now and get this video signal.
So the camera's plugged in, the one that you're supposed
myself.
To be appearing on.
I look, I'll be honest with you, I look freaking awesome.
There's something odd, though, about the fact that we're on and you're not.
Right.
I don't know what that is.
Well, listen, there's a lot of wires here. Wait! I see myself.
Hey, there you are. Hey.
See, and I'm delivering also because look it.
You do look awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do look awesome.
Hubba, hubba.
You want me to get a little bit closer in?
The beard's a little bushier than it used to
be. Well, I tried to clean things up a little bit last night, and I'll have to say I wasn't in the best place to be doing that.
Well, see, now it's weird because it's just you on. I like looking at me, too.
Yeah, let's mix it up because you can't get enough bald guys on TV at the same time or on the radio.
There's one shot that CLTV is struggling with here at the Showcase Studio.
Yeah.
Because it's the Allstate Showcase Studio, and it's a shot from the back where you can see the lovely Andrea and the lovely Dave.
Yeah.
But the light refracting off my head is like a lunar eclipse.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
So they've asked for you to wear a hat.
Yeah. They said a fedora might cut it down by a third.
It places a nice hue on myself and Dave Ennett,
nice.
But Steve doesn't like the backlighting, if you will.
There's a lot of head there.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can wrap some of your back hair up over the top of it and just kind of dim things
it's
a little bit.
It's this.
That shot, that's not bad.
It's this back here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's the back of my head. That's the real problem. That's what we're
cute,
talking
though.
About.
It's a cute bald spot.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. It's one big bald spot. It's a bald field. all right, so do you have this is only, what is this, our third week of doing the show on CLTV? I think it
third
is.
Third week, yeah.
And what is there a lot of buzz going on at Channel 9?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. Like, posters are going up. I know they've set up special ropes for the crowds that have been... showing up. So it's big. It's a big stinking deal.
Are people sad when they come to take a tour and they want to see the studio?
Well, that
the
is.
Steve
that's
Cochran
one of those. They're like, hey, where is Maury Povich and where's the Steve Cochran show? And a lot of confusion. But we're letting them down easy.
Do you have any questions for Paul Conrad? Either
no,
one of you?
I'm all right.
No, I know
no,
you don't.
You don't. I love the look. I love the bushy beard. Do you just decide on any given day, you know, today I'm going to do the goatee, I'm going to let the beard grow out?
Yeah, I think about it very little, which has shown. But I did. I felt like I was looking a little too Amish yesterday. Like, it was way freaky, like way out there. Not that the Amish are freaky, but sometimes they...
I caught you there trying to make sure the Amish wouldn't be offended. They don't watch TV.
They're not watching TV.
They're not watching this
now. So I can say pretty much what I want. But I know sometime word gets back to them, and I don't want them running me down with their horses. Anyway.
Because you love horses.
Yeah, because I thought, I'm looking maybe a little bit too much, so I tried to trim it down a little bit.
Dave, you have a thought for Paul?
I do. Paul, yeah. I just wonder, this kind of, I guess, inside shop talk kind
yeah.
of thing.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But
yeah.
after you have a big weekend weather-wise like this, yeah. with a winter storm warning and yeah. everything, is it kind of like the morning after election night where yeah. everybody just kind of exhales?
Yeah, staring at each other. How did we get this so wrong? Then we start blaming each other. Yeah, then it gets tense.
Somebody's got to answer to Skilling.
Yeah, yeah, it gets ugly.
Final staff question for Paul.
Sure,
Sever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Paul, I'm looking to book a trip in February,
yes.
and I don't like buying trip insurance, but right. is there going to be a lot of snow?
Yeah,
should I get it?
sure, yeah. I believe there'll be probably some snow in February. And
when you want to know where she's going before you make the forecast?
No. As long as you're going somewhere, it's going to be cold, and there'll be snow.
I don't feel like you're really checking the
almanac. No, I just did. Yeah, I know they do this with Skilling all the time on the radio, and I know this stuff off of the top of my head. It's going to be snowy and cold.
Where are you going in February?
I'm going to go...
No, that's you, Paul.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. Where are you going in February?
I think Mexico.
Oh, yeah, probably snow.
A lot of snow.
Possibly the BVIs. We'll see.
Yeah. Possibly what?
British Virgin Islands.
Oh, she said
the BVIs.
I had a bad case of the BVIs.
Yeah.
Once.
Yeah, did that clear up for you? Or?
Never did.
Mm.
Lost right. a leg.
So listen, because you're nice enough to come on the show, I wanted to invite you to our Friday WGN Radio
All
Christmas
right.
Carol. This Uh-oh. Coming Friday.
This Friday?
Yeah, this Friday from 10 to noon.
All right.
We're going to be doing the Christmas Carol, a Christmas Carol, not the Christmas Carol, a Christmas Carol, the play.
All right. I'd like to be Scrooge.
I think Scrooge is taken.
All right. Tiny Tim?
The entire play is cast, but we'd like All you right. to do a walk-on.
Okay.
It's 10 till noon, so right after this show, we'll go to Campbell Hall, right? Isn't that where
I
we're
I believe
doing
so, yes. Yeah.
All right, I'll hustle.
And you'll have to come over here. You want to check out the audition videos for the cast at WGNradio.com.
All right.
It's sponsored by Lightkeeper Pro Tool Set, Lou Malnati's Taste of Chicago, and Spot Hero. Have you ever used that Lightkeeper Pro?
Oh, have I ever, yeah.
That thing's unbelievable.
Yeah,
it's great.
When I was putting up my beautiful Christmas display.
Yeah.
Half of
to
your...
To be completed.
Yeah.
I had ADD with my Christmas display. Halfway mm-hmm. through, I went,
you just
look at that shiny thing, and I left.
Two bushes and a tree, right?
Two bushes and a tree, which yeah. is a band I was in.
Yeah.
But gee, that Lightkeeper Pro thing, that could relight any string of lights.
I think this has worked out really well.
It's been a good segment. It's been really solid.
I'm so convinced.
Right now, Paul is in his office at Channel 9 and SEAL TV going, who the hell thought we could do this? Put Cochran on TV.
Paul's going, terrible idea. Jen, can I talk to you?
I volunteered. I'll be back every Monday if you want.
Jen's going, I put on 12 newscasts a day without a flaw. This crap's on TV?
It took us 20 minutes to get the signal. We got it now.
All right, buddy. Alec Ford, you coming on next week, five yep. minutes after the segment starts.
I'll be here.
All right, talk to you later.
All right, got to go.
Bye-bye.
I got
yeah, I
really
know.
Important
Sorry.
Things I got
to Sorry, I didn't mean to keep you.
He's going to go memorize the almanac again. There
you 9:22, go. Back after this on 720 WGN and SEAL TV.
I really can't stay.
Maybe it's cold outside.
I got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold. Cold outside.
This evening has
been hoping that you drop
so
in.
Very nice.
I'll hold your hands.
Have we heard this year's made up controversy about this being a stalker kidnapper song?
Listen to the
Remember, this came up a couple years ago? It usually comes up every year now.
Song.
There's a new version of it,
put some
of the song.
Tied her up with rope. Where's the duct tape I spoke of?
No.
I wish I knew.
I mean, come on. It's a song.
It was on Christmas yesterday. We were decorating our tree.
It's a Christmas song. It's been on forever. Why do we have to make something out of everything?
My son right away said, Mom, it's the rape song.
Oh my God.
Terrible. I went, oh, that's great.
Come on.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I've had it with this song. I'm done with it.
I love this.
You know, we were talking to Paul Conrad a few minutes ago about the Christmas play. And then it reminded me that somebody told me this weekend that Lou Manfredini was upset that he didn't get a bigger part. You know, there are no small parts. There are only small actors. Let's go to one now where Lou Manfredini is standing by.
That's probably because you got the lead.
I didn't. Listen to me. I didn't get a small part. I didn't get any part.
Oh, you didn't get cast? Oh, so you're not into play at all?
Did you audition?
What? No, I wasn't invited to audition.
What?
What do you mean you weren't invited? Yeah, everybody was invited to audition.
But honestly, though, we all got like one-liners. I don't even know who I'm a.
Look, man, I'm paying the bills around here. I got three lines.
Woman number one. Right? Yeah, we all got little bitty parts.
Right. I'm bus driver one. I don't even think there's a bus in the show.
What do you say? Like,
wait a minute, you said you didn't get a part. Did you get a part or did you not get a part?
No, I get nothing. I got nothing.
Aren't you in the crowd?
I must be like, you know, like, I don't know. I haven't. I mean, at this point, I'm showing up for the free food, I guess.
Well, it's crowd murmur guy. Well, you know, I mean, I've had the leads. I've had the leads in these plays, and I've had smaller parts. And I got a question. Well, hold on a second. I'm happy.
How many times have you been fired from WGN?
What does this have to do? Well, fired from GN just once.
Okay. How many times have I been fired?
Well, none yet, but you're working on it.
Okay.
Right.
Here's the thing. I have a relatively small part, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well.
Last year I was Santa Claus.
I got nothing. It's like I don't even exist.
Wait, Luca, I'll make you.
You know what, Andrea, just stay a little longer. Have a cigarette more. I'll put some records.
All right, I'm there for you, my man. I'm there for you. Just hey, don't feel bad because I've never gotten a main part.
Okay, it's all right. I'll be fine.
There aren't like any that. Main women parts in the play, are there?
I could be a ghost.
Well, there's leads. There's
Did
no
we
female.
Not learn
leads.
Anything from the Broadway smash hit Hamilton, where Alexander Hamilton's a Puerto Rican and George Washington is a black man?
Yeah. I mean,
wait a minute. Now you want to be a Puerto Rican and a black man? I mean, come on.
I would like to be a Puerto Rican black man in the play.
In the play, he wants diversity. There you go.
Right, exactly.
Dave, you wanted to whine as well?
No, I'm not going to whine. But I was at the table read on Thursday and. Steve,
I wasn't.
Yeah, well, I was there, but I kind of left because I didn't really have anything to do. I was just sitting there, but I was listening to Steve go through his part, and it wasn't a small part. You had a
my
big part?
Part.
Your part's a big part.
No, it's not a big part.
Oh,
at all.
Sure it is.
No, it's not a big part at all. I'm spirit number one.
What is the role? What
I don't even have a name. I'm spirit number one. That's Why could you give me a name like Tony?
Well,
that's the ghost.
That's the ghost of Christmas past.
Hey, Tony.
That is a pretty big role, Steve.
Yeah, come on.
We all got little teeny lines. Mm-hmm.
All right, I have a huge part, and I'm very important. all right, so here's the deal, though. Stephanie Menendez works very hard on putting this together, and all she's getting is whining. Whining from Lou, whining from you guys.
I'm not whining.
You were the one who said, I don't even have a part.
I didn't say it. Who?
Wait, you have a message for
Lou
Stephanie?
Said that.
I got nothing.
Oh, he doesn't even have a message. Oh, or is that your message? I got nothing.
Oh, wait, I'm getting an email. You could be a page turner, Lou.
Now let's go. Lou, here's your cue. And then my line is going to be, I got nothing.
No, you should be crowd murmur again. Let me hear your murmur again.
I like it.
That is good.
Right?
It's Oscar worthy.
That sort of sounds like Dave after a few drinks.
Yeah.
Hey. So it sounds like any day. So here's the deal. If this is going to continue, if this kind of whining is going to continue, I'm going to advocate for canceling the Christmas play next year and canceling Christmas entirely.
No, Steve, don't.
Yeah, this is why we can't have nice things.
See, now
this
you'll get
kind
the
of
role
complaining.
Now you'll get the role of Scrooge. Next year. Right. So see?
I'm working
that's nothing
for
us.
Kind of my angle. Right. Yeah. Get Scrooge.
I can tell you, I think the Christmas recording thing is one of the most fun things.
Oh, don't try to cover it now, you big baby.
and
why don't you murmur a little more?
I think it's one of the most fun things that we do, and it's such a harken back to old radio. I'd just like a chance to participate.
Dave, do you have any final questions for Lou?
Lou. My buckthorn is exploding.
It's more of a statement than a question.
Right. Yeah. Wait, that could be my line.
Yeah.
Big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's 9:47, Bill and Wendy at 10. Thanks for watching CLTV, and you can see videos, feeds of this show all morning long at WGNradio.com, where you click on the watch button. The other day, we were talking with someone about Scientology. And this individual has an axe to grind with Scientology. So we ground that axe. And there are a couple people took exception to it. Whether they're current Scientologists or not doesn't really matter to me. It is not a religion to me. It is a cult to me. I have done my research, and that is my opinion. And my opinion comes from spending a fair amount of time looking at it, reading about it, and talking to several people who have been victimized by it. That to me is the difference between a religion and a cult. When you become victimized by it, you're not benefiting from it. You become a victim of it. But in all fairness, shouldn't I bring in somebody else to talk about this?
Absolutely.
Kathleen Falsani did one of the most memorable interviews of Barack Obama back in trying to talk about his faith, even before he was president. She's written so many books. We're working on a new book about the Pope now. And you read her in the Sun-Times for years, and she's been on the show many times. And she joins us now. Thanks for taking time away from the book. I hope I interrupted your writing.
You know, I'd love to say that I was up at the crack of dawn working away on my trade, but I just woke up a few minutes ago.
Fantastic.
So it's a little earlier. But
well, getting up on the West
I'm
Coast
happy to
for
be
us.
With you.
Yes, getting up on the West Coast for us is very nice. All right, so listen, California is the epicenter for Scientology, and, you know, many celebrities have spoken up and out about this, but many celebrities are still involved. Is this a religion or a cult, factually, and do we even know?
Boy, that's like tossing me the holy hand grenade first thing in the morning. but it's not the first time, Steve. So I'll say, by way of trying to answer that, I'll answer it with a question. What's the difference between a religion and a cult?
Yeah, to me, it's whether or not you're victimized by it. You know, faith, you should, in my world, and I'm a Christian, in my world, you should gain something from your experience in faith. You should give something, certainly, but you should also gain something. When it crosses the line and you become a victim of it, whether you're giving all your money up, or in the case of Scientologists, many have said that they've lost touch with their family, and some have even claimed to be kidnapped. That's where it crosses over.
There was a punchline to that. The question, I should have said it was a joke. The difference between a what's the difference between a religion?
I was giving you more time to wake up.
It's okay. I'm awake. 75 years is what some people say, but I mean, that's just the perspective of, you know, at some point Christianity was a cult too.
Sure.
But there's certainly factually, historically, many other people have made the argument more eloquently than I ever could or would. That Scientology is cult-like. But, you know, putting labels aside, there have certainly been a lot of reports that have been well-established or well-backed up by people who are famous and people who aren't famous who have had very troubling, at best, experiences with the Church of Scientology. And I think to say that is you're just reporting something factual. People have had very negative experiences with the Church of Scientology, but people have had very negative experiences with Catholicism, with Christianity in general. Certainly I'm come from the evangelical Christian background, certainly with that, certainly of late. To say that the difference between a religion and a cult is whether someone's having a negative experience with it or not is not exactly the criteria I would use, or anyone who's far more scholarly than I am about the difference between a cult and a religion.
You know, but honestly, we should have had a symbol ready anyway when you brought it up. We should have had a rim shot ready for you anyway, because it wasn't a fair question for me to ask.
Okay.
It does go to the core question of Scientology, because I think most of us, whether you're a Jew or a Christian or you're Muslim, whatever the case may be, you know, you've got a place where you go to worship, and the place where you go to worship, you cover the history of whatever your religion is. You talk about what matters to you in famous readings of your particular religion. You try to take forward some message. And I think the overarching theme is you try to be better tomorrow than you were today, and you try to do things for other people. That's the grossest generalization, or the most gross generalization I could come up with for religions in general. I'm asking without being flip here. I don't know what Scientology does for people. I don't know what people get out of it. And in everything I've read about it, and it's a lot. In the documentary, which was on HBO a year or so ago, mm-hmm. and Leah Remini and the other people who've gotten out of it, mm-hmm. I don't know what they're getting out of it.
Well, you know, and I'm hardly going to be an apologist for Scientology. It's not something I've certainly, as a religion reporter or as a religion journalist, we're all aware of Scientology and some of the complaints and criticisms of it and its history and L. Ron Hubbard's history and some of the stuff that is more current that has been alleged in the media and in courtrooms and et cetera. But, you know, it's not a major religion in this country. I don't think it's a major religion anywhere, just looking at the numbers. But, you know, I will say this, in these United States, at least at the moment, and hopefully going forward, we have the freedom to worship or not worship what and whoever and however we want to.
Kathleen, what is it, though, about the Church of Scientology that cares so much whether their people leave the religion?
Yeah.
I mean, why do they stalk? Why
no freedom
do they,
to go.
Yeah, badmouth the character. No freedom to leave, right.
I'm not a Scientologist, so I couldn't tell you exactly why they behave the way that some of them have been alleged to have behaved with people who leave the flock. But they're hardly alone in terms of ostracizing people who have left, shunning. I mean, sadly, in lots of different religious traditions, we have long histories of shunning people who have either disappointed us, sinned, left the flock, somehow disparaged, or brought disparaging, sentiments to the religious tradition or to the church or to the spiritual community. But I mean, the stuff that we've seen alleged, I saw the documentary you're talking about several times myself, trying to get your head around as somebody on the outside of Scientology, what exactly they believe and why they might do the things that they do is really complicated. It's not as transparent as somebody going and picking up a Bible or a Book of Mormon or the Quran or the Bhagavad Gita. I mean, their sacred texts, in so much as they have them, are not as accessible as those things are to us. It's a newer religion, if you want to call it a religion.
Yeah, and it seems like you've got to be in to understand it, and if you don't come in, then you have no right to look into it. It's all...
And as I understand it, it's sort of, you know, you get a certain amount of knowledge at a certain level, and then you have to achieve certain levels of religious education,
right,
to get the keys to the next level, and so on and so on and so on. And so somebody from the outside has a very difficult time trying to really gauge what it is they're teaching and what it is they actually believe, and certainly then why they might, some of them might behave the way they do, or the people in the hierarchy of the church or the leadership of the church, why they right. behave the way they do when somebody falls out of favor with them.
Yeah, like Leah Remini, and obviously her book is being publicized now, and you can take a look at that. When you get the Pope book done, will you come back?
Of course I'll come back. I'll talk about Papa Frank all day long.
He's the best. Hold the line. That's Kathleen Felsine. We love Kathleen.